Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking Gaynell McNichols, and at Colonial Williamsburg, she's supervisor of the Capitol and Jail, which means what?
That I train those who work at the Capitol and Jail, that I supervise their interpretations, that I do research, a little bit of everything.
Okay, now, how did you get to be supervisor of the jail?
When I became, about 20 years ago, lead interpreter, they asked which building I would prefer. They gave me a choice, and when they said jail, I said yes.
Oh, okay. That is not what I would have thought of as a first choice.
It was for me because I have been fascinated since the day I stepped into the jail, onto that site. I have been fascinated with the people who were there wanting to know about all those people who spent time in our jail and about a little bit about their stories. And over the years, I've learned a lot about them through research that others have done and research that I've done.
Okay. Who were the people in the jail in revolutionary times that most interest you, that you like to read about or study? Or
I found that once I started doing research on the jail, that those people who were second-time offenders or third-time offenders, if they lived that long, were the people who most interested me. And over the years, I've been able to find a wealth of information about people who came to this colony not of their own free will, but who came here as convict servants, people who'd gotten in trouble in England, political prisoners in Ireland and Scotland, people who were sent here just to rid these places of troublemakers. And as time went on, I started with a base of information and began to gain more and more information. I was able to flesh out these people to really get an idea of who they were, why they were here, what their stories were, what happened to them once they got here. It took a number of years of research, but I finally got to the point where I feel as if I have a good base of information.
Well, it sounds as if the people who were sent here for being bad or offenders of some sort or another,
yes,
didn't change their ways when they got here.
I'd like to think, when I started this, I used to think, perhaps I'll find someone who became a good, decent, useful citizen. It wasn't so with the information that I had. Now, they sometimes mended their ways, but more often than not, these runaways or these convicts who were sent here were sent for a period of 7 years. During that time, they couldn't go back home to England. They stayed here as indentured servants. And they were really at the bottom of the social scale. They were, despite the fact that they claimed, many of them claimed to have talents, they knew trades, they were sometimes claiming to be silversmiths, gunsmiths, they were put to work in the fields at hard labor. And I suppose that desire to get back home, even under, it was under threat of death, compelled them to run away. And at times when they ran away, they got caught committing other crimes, and they were kept in the jail until they had their trial at the general court at the Capitol.
That's the other thing I've always been curious about. I was told and did some research and found out that it was true. They weren't in jail serving punishment. They were in jail awaiting trial.
That's true. There were no penitentiaries, as we know of today, until after the Revolutionary period. And those started up in Philadelphia, I believe. But our public jail, our county jails, there's one in each county in the colony, were holding places for people who had been accused of crimes, who were going to trial. And once the trial had taken place, if they were had been found guilty, were sentenced to be executed, to be hanged, that's where they were kept. There's no idea at that time of putting people in jail to serve time.
I was quite surprised when I learned that, because I thought as people would nowadays, the jail was where you went to serve your sentence, but there wasn't a sentence.
There was not a sentence. There was a sentence. It was a sentence of death. It wasn't time in prison. Mm-hmm. The most they'd stay in prison would be possibly 3 months in our public jail before they went to trial at the general court, because that court met just 4 times a year. And once the trial is over, of course, if they're found not guilty, they go back home. Probably not too happy that they had to spend 3 months in that jail.
Yeah, the jail doesn't look like a happy home place for 3 months.
I don't think so. When anyone goes to our jail, you'll see that there were no fireplaces. There's no way to keep those cells warm. They're sleeping on straw if they have it. They might have blankets in cold, cold weather. They're getting probably one meal a day. And that was described by one political prisoner, Henry Hamilton, who was in there in the late Revolutionary period, meals of cornmeal and spoiled salt pork or beef.
Does not sound like a resort.
No, it doesn't. And, of course, they were allowed outside in an exercise yard during the day. Some of them, if they were trustees, to use a more modern term, were allowed to work out around the jail if the jailkeeper needed them for their labor. They were allowed to be rented out to people in town. But if they were rented out to people in town, they were equipped with a collar, an iron collar around the neck, which described them as prisoners. And, of course, there were some who, one or two that I found, who, when they were sent out to work in town, despite the fact that they had the collar, just disappeared, ran off.
Did they run off successfully or not?
One or two of them did. Others were not quite so successful. Mm-hmm. And in the normal course of events, if someone was in that jail and he or she escaped, because there were women in the jail too, if he or she escaped, they were brought back and immediately taken to the gallows to be turned off the cart, to be hanged.
First off, I did not know that there had been women in the jail.
Oh, yes, indeed. They were confined in there, waiting trial for crimes, approximately the same crimes that men were in there for. They were female horse thieves, women who murdered, women who stole. Most of the people in that jail, most of the people who were tried in the general court and in the county courts were people who were being tried for theft of some kind.
Actually, that makes perfectly good sense, but I had never thought of it. Women horse thieves. It's just not something you think of.
I think we find that's true of people who come to visit our jail. Many times when they're looking around, they'll say, well, there were no ladies in your jail. And if I'm talking to them, no, there weren't any ladies in our jail, but we did have women in our jail. There's a difference.
And they stole horses.
And they stole horses.
What else did they ask?
They often think that they're coming to a penitentiary, just as we talked about earlier. They're really surprised that we didn't put people in jail to serve time. And most of the people who visit us at the jail or at the Capitol in the general court think that everyone who was tried for a crime and found guilty was hanged. And that's really not true. A fairly small number of people were hanged. We had other ways of dealing with them. We didn't put them in jail to serve time, but they could be reprieved from death by being given benefit of clergy. Goes back to the medieval period. If you can read, originally, if you were a member of the clergy, you were given a second chance if you had been condemned to death. You were branded on the hand with hot branding iron, maybe with a T for thief or M for manslaughter. You were let go. You're reprieved from death, and I'm sure that's a blessing for them, but they also had to be shown that they were going to get a punishment for the crime they'd been found guilty of. So most of the people who came through our court system who got to the general court were branded in the hand with a hot branding iron.
And there was a whipping post. The number of people who were whipped for what I would consider fairly minor crimes was pretty good.
I think that's another thing that guests come to our jail and court with, the idea that the crimes were all very serious crimes, but they are, in our eyes, minor crimes. And when you consider where we're coming from England, in England, for most of the 18th century, there were a couple of hundred crimes on the books which got you the death penalty. Stealing, what we'd consider really very petty theft today, could get you in a court and get you sentenced to death by hanging. But as I said, they don't always get hanged. They'll be reprieved and get that mark on the hand. They get the mark once, though. If you have come to our court and you have been found guilty of a crime, we brand you on the hand, we send you away, and you've learned your lesson, that's good. But if you come back to the court, we have court records, we know that you're here as a second-time offender, and, of course, the mark is on your hand. It's going to stay with you for life. You're a marked man. So when you come back, if you're found guilty a second time, it will be more than likely death by hanging.
I was reading recently because California apparently wants to change its three strikes and you're outlaw, but we had a two strikes and you're outlaw.
Correct. That's so exactly what it is.
We did it a whole lot earlier.
We did, yes.
I did not know that. That's one more thing I've learned today. The other thing I'm curious about, because I read it somewhere a long time ago, when Blackbeard the pirate was taken in Albemarle Sound, as I remember the story, some of his people wound up in the Williamsburg jail.
Indeed, they did.
What happened to them?
They were hanged. There were approximately, and the number varies with whatever research you've done, approximately 15 or 16 of them. We know that Blackbeard never got here because he was decapitated during that battle. But his crew members who survived the battle were brought to Williamsburg and tried in the court at the Capitol. There were 15 or 16 of them. All except two were hanged for their crime. One of them who was not hanged was Israel Hands, who was Blackbeard's first mate. He turned king's evidence, state's evidence, and told on the other pirates. And he disappeared after that. There's an old myth that he was, the last time he was seen, he was begging on the streets of London. So he got back home to England. The other man who was not hanged was a man named Samuel Odell, who, according to all the stories I've read, he received multiple wounds. I've read some reports of 75 wounds in the battle. And I've always thought if he were wounded that many times, they probably took pity on him and said, "We're not going to kill you. You've suffered enough." But he had a good story. He convinced them that he wasn't a pirate, that he went on board the ship to drink and have a good time with these men. He had no idea that they were pirates.
And somebody believed
it? And they believed it. Of course, we had a woman a little bit later in the 18th century. It was a couple of years after Blackbeard. Martha Farley, who was captured with some pirates, they were brought up here to be tried. And Martha said that she and her husband had gotten in with these people. She didn't know that they were pirates. They just had a good time on board the ship, and every once in a while they'd go take another ship. And out of all this, she received a lot of good food and nice clothing. But here she was in Williamsburg testifying against these pirates, claiming she had no idea that they were pirates. She had two children, I believe, with her. And when everything was over, all was said and done, some of the pirates in this case were hanged, some were acquitted. Martha was acquitted, and I believe, if I remember correctly, that the members of the council, the governor's council, the upper house of the legislature, they also served as judges on the courts. They took up enough money to give to Martha so she could get back home and take her children back to North Carolina.
It's nice to know that lying is not a new custom. That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Checkhistory.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.